Blog Talk Radio.
And hello, welcome to another edition of Quest Youth Radio, which is the best youth radio. And previously, we normally broadcast on 89.5 FM from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange. But due to the pandemic, we've been put on hiatus, and as all campuses and schools are closed around the country, we have adapted Blog Talk Radio, which is something that we have been part of since 2013. So without any further ado, I go by the name of Dr. Richard Bombay, PhD of musicology, and I'd like to begin the show by letting you know that every program is a Quest moment. And what exactly a Quest moment is? A cornucopia of physics dictates that where there are vibrations, there must be a medium. And all vibrations possess a wave nature. In our community, our art is in fact and in spirit the medium through which our air waves travel. Where there is no medium, there are no vibrations. This evening, we'll be bringing to you our student host, Mr. Walter Pierce. He will be presenting two diamond segments. One, an excerpt from a book, and another on a not-so-well-known figure in African-American history. And without any further ado, I'd like to bring on Mr. Walter Pierce. Walter, welcome.
Yeah, good evening, Mr. Bay. Welcome. Welcome, everybody. And if you could read the intro for Diamonds, I would appreciate that so I could get into my segment.
Absolutely. Diamonds. History is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply, and you are bound to find yourself. You see, diamonds provides an historical message that interprets what has happened and suggests what can happen by providing an historical analysis. Ladies and gentlemen, only by recognizing yesterday's mistakes can we make corrections today and build a better tomorrow for all our nights to come. Because no one knows the past better than those who have walked in it and bared its burden.
Yes, and
Walter.
Good evening, everyone. A lot of our discussion in the near future will be from a freedom in my heart. Voices from the United States National Slavery Museum. And I started off by saying, I find it surprising when people say they know nothing about slavery because they live in a certain part of the country, thereby exempting themselves from needing to know fully documented instances of how the North promoted, prolonged, and profited from slavery. In the words of the subtitle of Complicity, A Study of the North's Profit from the Dependence on Slavery. The year in which Freedom in My Heart is being published is posing a new question for Americans. Whether a person of African ancestry is going to be elected the next president of the United States. That question is pregnant with many underlying issues, such as preparedness, qualification, and the ability to represent all citizens fairly in weather. In fact, America is ready to elect a president of color. One of the reasons I fastened on the idea to establish a museum dedicated solely to explaining slavery in the U.S. was to show how those enslaved people had come to reclaim their families, reconstruct their values, and rebuild their hopes. For the most part, all nations in the world have experienced slavery in some degree. Yet the story of American slavery is like none other. African Americans have held a desire for inclusiveness in a society that for so long rejected them. When we consider our oppression and being kidnapped from our native Africa, where we lived as artisans and craftsmen and brought to the U.S. in chains to be sold, why shouldn't we be any more ashamed of our history of persecution than the Jewish people who experienced Holocaust torment during World War II? Why should we be reluctant to want to learn more about history as victims at the hands of the more powerful of those more powerful than we are? Thank you. And before you speak, this was by L. Douglas Wilder. He is one of the writers of this book that I am reading, and this is one of his pieces that he wrote for the book. Thank you.
I have to ask you, that particular passage speaks as if there wasn't a Barack Obama, because he asked the question, will this country be able to have a president of color? And I wanted to ask you, what was the take on that? And why did you, you know, choose that particular excerpt from the book?
Because, first off, to answer that first question, this was written in 2008. So it was before the election of President Barack Obama. So he was just explaining to people what basically foreshadowing the future of what to expect, how we're most likely going to have an African-American president and what the world will look like if we have an African-American president. And I wanted to keep on continuing with the message I'm spreading and the misconceptions of Africa, of how people believe, have a lot of misconceptions about it, and bringing that to the American side of how L. Douglas Wilder, his point of view on it, where she says that, believing that this world won't prove what an African-American president, I mean, this country, because of how it will be the first and it will bring a lot of people together because we've built this country and we have a right to have a high place in office.
Okay. Sounds good. As we continue our program, I turn it right back over to Walter Pierce to continue with his next segment.
Yes. You can give me 1 minute. I will pull it up for you.
Absolutely. And while he's preparing for his next segment, I'd like to let everyone know we have a regular format, which consists of chains of events, which is news as it affects the global community, and specifically the areas of New Jersey and Newark. We have another segment titled Curtain, which we explore information from a musical artist and what they've done behind the curtains of the stage to affect their community. And today, our emphasis is on Diamonds, which is our historical segment. And at this point, I would like to ask Walter, are you ready?
Yes, I will go straight into the Diamonds for today, which is John Andrew Kenny Sr. John A. Kenny Sr. was born June 11, 1874, and was an African-American surgeon who was medical director and chief surgeon of the John A. Andrew Memorial Hospital at the Tuskegee Institute in Alabama from 1902 to 1922. He was also the co-founder of the National Medical Association, of which he served as secretary from 1904 to 1912. He was elected president of the NMA in 1912. He was the editor-in-chief of its journal, the Journal of the National Medical Association, from 1916 to 1948. After leaving Tuskegee in 1924, he founded the Kenny Memorial Hospital in Newark, New Jersey. This hospital was later renamed the Booker T. Washington Community Hospital in 1935, and it closed down in 1953. He also served as a personal physician of both Booker T. Washington and George Washington Carver. And that is for today's diamond, John A. Kenney Sr. Thank you.
Okay, now you know what the next question is. Why did you choose Mr. Kenney, Dr. Kenney?
I chose him because our theme, of course, is not only to find people, African-Americans, that had either a lot of success or hard, but also we're trying to find people that was close to home, that did a lot of things in New Jersey, that close to a lot of people that view us and hear about us. And a lot of people probably don't know who he was. He was the president of his own company, which he started, his own medical company. He was the president and the head of that. And a lot of people won't know who he was. And when I read about him, I didn't know who he was personally. And then I found out he actually opened a hospital in North New Jersey where most of us reside by. And it was later renamed and shut down, but still being a pioneer in this field, being one of the first, it's always good to know about.
Absolutely. Now, I want to remind the audience at this moment, right, that after each historical presentation, we shall have comments from the elder. So I will assume the position of the elder. Okay, so yeah, I'm older. Okay, with all jokes aside, I'd like to expand and elaborate on Dr. Kenney. When he established that particular hospital, Walter, just in case in your research you may not have, you probably did uncover it, but I know there was a lot of information there. And one of the things that I want to highlight is the fact that there was a need for a black hospital because black doctors were not allowed to service their patients in regular hospitals. You see, it was only whites allowed, okay? So the segregation that existed in this country and to some extent still exists in certain parts around America, right, would not allow black patients into the hospital. And more importantly, they would not allow the doctors into the hospital. So if you were black and you were a doctor, you were not allowed into the hospital, let alone to see a patient. And so and because of the need, he provided the service by establishing a black hospital with black nurses that would deal and treat patients of color right here in Newark, New Jersey. Walter, I know you did get that part. You might have left it out, but could you elaborate on it real fast?
All right, yeah. So, again, yeah, African-Americans, they weren't doctors.
What are your thoughts about that? My thoughts on that,
I understand the positioning that was taken. I also read about that African-American doctors wasn't allowed to work. And I've read that about a couple other people I did research on in the past, but I've seen how most of them, they decided that they had no choice but to start something of their own so they could service their own people because we needed medical treatment too. We were the same as whites. We were human. We're going to need medical treatment. So they decided to make the conscious decision. People who did the same as John A. Star Hospital.
Okay. I'm going to don't mind me. You already know who I am, Walter. Right, but I'm going to elaborate just a little bit more and bring this up to date. In black communities throughout or communities that are disenfranchised, you find that people in these communities don't have a lot of confidence in the medical profession. And the reason why, this is one of the reasons, right? Black people or people in these types of neighborhoods and communities throughout this country have not had confidence in these hospitals because of the historical preference of whites over blacks and feeling uncomfortable in certain hospital or hospitalization situations. And so, it, you know, with that type of history, it kind of compounds someone feeling, you know, a little leery about the medical profession at whole. And so I just wanted to add that part in there. I'd like to see if we have Valerie, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Val, do you have we want to wrap up our show by giving the audience a little information about the election that's coming up in November.
Okay, just one moment.
By providing a little assistance for those of you who might be in question about how the election and how to go about voting, we're going to provide that information for you. Are you ready, Val?
Yes. If you choose to vote by absentee ballot, you must request and fill out an application for an absentee ballot. Once the county clerk's office receives your request, starting in September, they will mail your absentee ballot. In essence, without this being officially called early voting, it really is early voting. To download the application for an absentee ballot, go to EssexClerk.com, and Essex is capital E, clerk is capital E, but it's all one word, EssexClerk.com. Then look for the word form and click on form. Scroll down until you see mail-in ballots. Click on ENG. This will open up the application request for an absentee ballot. Now you can print the form. Please seal your ballot well and take it to the post office early, preferably about 2 weeks before the election. Thank you.
Okay. Oh, thank you. Val is one of our staunch supporters of Quest Youth Radio. And, Walter, I'd like for you to conclude the show. Okay. We may have lost Walter there, right? So I would like to invite everyone to tune back in on Saturday morning at 10 a.m. for another edition and episode of Quest Youth Radio. We thank you for joining the listenership this evening. And until Saturday and next time, remember, those
Quest
who
Youth
are
Radio.
Not aware will not know. All right. The best youth radio is Quest Youth Radio. Thank you, Val. Thank you to our callers who called in and they're on the line. And more importantly, thank you, Mr. Walter Pierce, for your in-depth historical message about history as it affects the African-American community. Until Saturday, we'll see you. Peace.